In the not-too-distant future, there will be no civilization.
He's got a knife.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Who says crime doesn't pay?
I'm with Muriel.
Better finish your orgasm.
I'm not an actor, I'm a movie star!
Simon Foster is the editor of the film industry website screenspace.net and the festival director of the Sydney Science Fiction Film Festival. He joins us now to count down his top five Australian science fiction films. Simon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Yes, I am kicking off my Sydney Science Fiction Film Festival next week, Thursday the 19th, down here in Sydney. So I thought I'd look at the five great Australian science fiction films. Something a bit different. We're not going to go down the Mad Max path. We've already done that plenty of times. So these are a few more under-the-radar ones that I thought might interest the people.
Yeah. Well, Mad Max is more dystopian than science fiction, isn't it?
A little bit of that, yeah. That whole sort of is it sci-fi, is it horror, is it sort of dystopian? It's a bit of a grey area sometimes when you're looking at the great science fiction films, because a lot of the great sci-fi films obviously do take place in a different kind of future world. So there's plenty of those going around, that's for sure.
Do we put out good sci-fi flicks as Aussies?
You know, when we really try hard, we don't. There was a famous Tom Berlinson film from the early 80s called The Time Guardian, and it was meant to be our big sort of answer to Star Wars, and in the end it was lost a lot of money and got a whole lot of terrible reviews. So our best sort of science fiction ones are often done, as you'll see from my list here, by the independent filmmakers working outside of the mainstream, working outside of the usual funding body, just bringing sort of visions that they've worked with in their heads for a long time to life, and then makes for some great films.
Mm. So tell us about the inaugural Sydney Science Film Festival.
Well, I'm very excited about it. I've been programming a sci-fi festival for the last few years, but I decided to break away this year. And the Sydney Science Fiction Film Festival, which we're holding at the Actors Centre at Leichhardt here in Sydney, is a real international event. We've got like 40-odd films from 19 different countries. We've got two Australian world premieres where our opening night is a great Australian sort of action adventure film called Monsters of Man. And, yeah, we've got films from Tunisia, from Russia, from Singapore, where, you know, the global science fiction community is very active. And in a year when there haven't been too many film festivals, we're one of the first sort of up and running again after the whole COVID nonsense. And I'm quietly terrified, but very hopeful that it'll be a success.
So it kicks off on Thursday next week. How long does it run?
3 days. It's got 10 sessions starting on Thursday night with Monsters of Man, then two more sessions on Friday night, then a whole Saturday of movie watching. There's some free sessions. There's an open bar. There's a bar anyway, not open. And there'll be a big crowd turning up there we're hoping to see some great sci-fi.
All right. So if you're a sci-fi fan and you're close enough to Sydney, head on down. All right. Let's do it. Simon Foster, the five great Australian science fiction films. What's the fifth in your list?
The Final Hours. This was a movie that had a small but pretty convincing theatrical run a couple of years back. In this one, and this is sort of very much from the Deep Impact or, you know, Armageddon style of filmmaking, an asteroid crashes into the ocean and this huge firestorm is just hurtling towards the west coast of Australia. This was all shot in Perth. A young man played by Nathan Phillips, he just wants to party himself into oblivion, waiting for this wall of fire to hit the West Coast. But he befriends a young girl played by Anguri Rice, who went on to star in Ladies in Black and the last Spider-Man film. She's got a big future ahead of her. And he decides to spend his last few hours doing a good thing, trying to reunite her with her father. It's a fairly bleak sort of film, but with a very hopeful message in it. Very powerful ending. This is a film that's good for
you. You brought a kid, James?
I came here because I didn't know what to do. I'm going to take that girl back to where she belongs.
What about it? Where do you belong?
Dad always said that God has a perfect plan for everyone. Do you ever think you might end up in hell instead of heaven?
Are you trying to impress? Run around trying to help this girl?
Just trying to help her, Mum.
You better go.
These Final Hours. And number four on your list, Simon?
Sons of Steel. You will not have heard of this film. It had a terrible time getting onto any screens back in the mid-80s. It's the story of a heavy metal singer called Black Alice, played by Rob Hartley, who is turned into a hologram and then he's brought out of a hologram to try to stop himself from ruining the whole world. It is a nutty film with heavy metal music and some very strange stuff in there.
Man is a rebel, and rebels must be destroyed.
He's a dangerous man with a quest for peace.
I'm not as dangerous as that sub out there in the harbour with 5 million innocent people living around it.
There you go, Sons of Steel. Can he find a way to return in time to save the world from nuclear annihilation? What made it a good film?
I didn't say it was a good film. I said it's very much a relic of the 80s. It's got some absolutely nutty sorts of comedy and heavy metal music and this mashup as only sort of underground 80s filmmaking ever created. So it's a tough one to find, but if you can, check out Sons of Steel.
All right. What about Arrowhead? That's your number three. What happens in Arrowhead?
Well, in Arrowhead, this is the story. I mean, it's set against this huge interplanetary conflict. A young guy is sort of sent on a mission to try to save the world, but he's thrown off course and lands on this planet. All he has with him is a robot, voiced by the ABC's own Sean McAuliffe, I might say. And he's matched up with a young biologist played by Alicia Rose. And it's a very tense, kind of nasty, but really enjoyable sci-fi thriller.
Welcome, guest. What is your name?
Just let me think for a second.
I remember you.
You don't know me. You don't know anything about me.
I'm looking at you now, Kai, and your eyes, they're different.
All right, that's number three in the list of Australian science fiction films, Arrowhead. Which one is number two?
Number two is a little Western Australian film called The Gateway. Now, Jacqueline McKenzie, who we made a huge splash on Australian screens in Romper Stomper all those years ago, she plays a particle researcher who's able to break down matter and teleport through dimensions, but she suffers a terrible tragedy. Her husband, played by Miles Pollard, is killed. In another dimension, he's still alive, so she brings him back, but things aren't as they seem, and he may not be the man that she knows. This is a very clever, very twisting, turning, very science fiction type of science fiction movie, if you know what I mean.
Feels like a dream. We could go across. Okay, taking it to 200.
The Gateway with Jacqueline McKenzie. I love Jacqueline McKenzie.
She's such a great actress. Mm. Yeah, and she's making this whole new career she's building for herself back here in Australia after some time over in the States. She's in Palm Beach and a whole lot of really good films lately. So, yeah, I love her too.
Yeah, Angel Baby. Great movie.
Wow.
So number one, I feel like I should have a drum roll for this on your list. What's number one in Australian science fiction films?
You don't need a drum roll for this film, believe me. There's plenty of drum rolls in it. This is a film called Smoke 'em If You Got 'em. This came out of 1988. It is a real snapshot of the Melbourne underground music scene at the time, all in sort of service of a story where the apocalypse has happened. There's gangs sort of forming all around Melbourne's inner city. They're still relying on punk music and punk rock and Australian indie music to get by. It's got some amazing music in there by Quincy McLean and Mulan Vella. It's got a young Clayton Jacobson who would go on to direct Kenny with his brother Shane. So if you get a chance, once again, tough one to track down, but Smoking If You Got 'em is just another relic of the 80s and a lot of fun to boot.
Barbiturates, melorama, DMT, PCP, mescaline, valium, or Serapex.
No, I want something with a bit of kick. Haven't you got any crack or some speed?
Hugh, for 2 days this party's been going. Would we be smoking bong if there was any coke left?
Huh, yeah, right.
There is some smack, though.
Oh, no, I don't want to get wired, not hooked.
Yes, you could easily be addicted for life.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em from 1988. Perhaps not one with the kids around, though.
No, maybe not, no.
Simon, once again, thank you very much, and break a leg with the film festival.
Thanks so much. Always a pleasure talking.
Indeed. Simon Foster, who's the managing editor of film industry website Screen Space and the curator of the inaugural Sydney Science Fiction Film Festival.